Good afternoon. I'm in Jamaica. We went there a few days ago to visit our friends George and Ann Beasley because my wife Ann's birthday is today, February 5. I'm not going to tell you how old she is. I will tell you that we have been wed for 54 years. We met by happenstance when I was at WPYB in Benson and Ann lived in Dunn. And she came by the radio station for something, and I saw her, talked to her, asked her out, and that was Thanksgiving of 1964. I proposed in December. We married on April 25. Today is my bride's birthday, and I'm taking her to Jamaica. We have to get a house sitter, so it costs me when I travel. We have to get a house sitter because things are so bad in our world these days. If somebody thinks you're not at home, they feel free to come in. So we've got a house sitter, and one, by the way, who is a good marksman and has their own carry permit. Are you a Republican or a Democrat? Or, like me, are you an American first? It would shock you to know the number of people who consider a political party first in their lives. Many more Americans have tuned out altogether. They don't want to hear the news because it's too depressing. I understand that because I too find what is presented to us as news today very depressing. Still, if we want to save our country and indeed our world, we have to be aware of what's happening around us. It's easy to see that our country is wandering in the wilderness. Progressive liberalism has turned common sense on its head, and we are watching things happen in America today that our ancestors would never have even dreamed of. They were a hearty bunch of people who took care of their own. The idea that government should take care of them was unheard of. Over several decades, liberalism endorsed socialism and set out on a path to bring America down to that level. What we are witnessing today did not happen overnight. It came on us slowly, one step at a time. We were lulled to sleep by smaller demands from liberals, only to wake up one day and see that those demands had multiplied tenfold. I'll give you a case in point, California, where illegal immigrants are now allowed to vote in local elections. Just recently, socialist forces in Columbia, Maryland, have been trying to allow non-citizens there to vote in local elections. Once these people are successful in getting illegal aliens the right to vote in local elections, they'll demand that these non-citizens be allowed to vote in national elections. If you're like me, you can't believe what you're hearing. But it's true. These progressive liberals would have people who are not United States citizens voting to determine who runs our country and our government. The outcome of that travesty is readily apparent. If we think we have graft and corruption now, just wait until these non-citizens can vote in politicians who reward them with more cash and benefits, and they do it with your money. A wise man once said this, "I think the best way of doing good for the poor is not making them easy in poverty, but leading them or driving them out of poverty." That is completely contrary to democratic policy. Every politician talks about poverty because it's such a serious issue, regardless of morality. Our many entitlement programs are taking our society down. There's also a human cost. The U.S. Census Bureau says that nearly a third of the residents of Detroit and Buffalo live in poverty, as the government defines it. That's such a waste of human potential. that both liberals and conservatives agree something has to be done. Nobody claims to be pro-poverty. But if you ask for solutions, ideas break down along party lines. Liberals want to increase your taxes and give even more to the poor. Conservatives want to create opportunities and nudge the poor into jobs by cutting welfare, having people who are able-bodied work to receive welfare. Liberals and conservatives have thundered rhetoric at each other for years. But we now have some facts, and I'll give them to you. The U.S. Census Bureau ranks cities in America with the most poverty and showed how long these cities have been run by Democrats. It is a fact that every major city in America, which is a center of poverty, has been run by Democrats for a very long time. Democratic policies are society killers. Here's a top 10 list of American cities with extreme poverty and how long they've been run by Democrats. Detroit, Michigan, run by Democrats since 1961, 56 years. Buffalo, New York, since 1954, 63 years. Cincinnati, Ohio, run by Democrats since 1984, that's 33 years. Cleveland, Ohio, run by Democrats since 1989, 28 years. Miami has been run by Democrats forever. St. Louis, since 1949, 68 years. El Paso, run by Democrats forever. Milwaukee, since 1908, more than 100 years. Philadelphia has been ruled by Democrats since 1952, that's 65 years. And Newark, New Jersey, has been under Democratic control since 1907. 110 years, and take a look at that dark hole. In 1950, for instance, Baltimore's median income was 7% above the national average. After 54 years of rule by Democrats, Baltimore's median income is 24% below the national average. In all of these cities, there's a common thread, a poor population that has been made dependent on government for their very survival. It's human nature to continue voting for the politicians who hold the keys to your very life, even when that life is one of misery. Even the most industrious man or woman will give way when opportunities are taken from them, and neglect is their fate in life. At election time, here come the Democrats to tell them how they're going to clean it up. A starving human being can be easily manipulated by the promise of just a loaf of bread. Democrats have promised to better the lives of these poor people for decades. But as the decades pass, their lot in life has grown worse, not better. Much like foreign countries run by opportunists, the Democratic elites prosper while those in poverty suffer. Our inner cities, pockets of poverty, have been sold a bill of goods by charlatans posing as reverends. These self-appointed leaders of the black community grow rich on the backs of the gullible poor who follow them like sheep. A great example? Al Sharpton. Here's a man posing under the title of reverend who is barely literate and who lives an opulent lifestyle while avoiding paying his taxes. Sharpton came on the scene when he rushed to the media to lie about the rape of a girl named Tawana Brawley by dastardly white men. This racist stooge gained a loyal following who thought that Sharpton was on the level and not the charlatan he later turned out to be. When it was proven that Tawana Brawley had lied about her rape story, she disappeared into the darkness. Sharpton, however, ignored his part in this miscarriage of justice and was given a pass by the mainstream fake news media. That allowed the Rev to continue his lies and deception and become one of America's greatest cons and race baiters. Others, like Jesse Jackson, were a bit more educated than Sharpton and a bit more wiser to the ways of deception. Jackson lives in a mansion in Chicago and enjoys the luxuries of life in spite of never having held a real job. His son, Jesse Jr., went to prison from Congress. An apple does not fall far from the tree. A host of black fraudsters learned to blackmail corporations and wealthy individuals by threatening to use the race card against them. The money poured into them. I myself was approached by a black man who specialized in this blackmail tactic. His lawyer, a lowlife himself, suggested that if I were to buy a conference table and 12 chairs for this charlatan, I would not have to worry about petitions being filed at the Federal Communications Commission against my company. The only thing that saved me from having to pay this clown was Ronald Reagan's appointment of my then attorney and friend, Mark Fowler, as chairman of the FCC. With that appointment, the snake slipped back into its hole. Others were not so fortunate. Until Black America rises up to defy these race mongers among them, the charlatans will continue to enrich themselves while dividing the races. The Democratic Party has destroyed the incentive of Black Americans. It has purposely led them to complete dependence on the Democratic hand that holds their benefits. That is why DACA and immigrants are so prized by Democrats. These are not human beings, but votes for the party. Legal immigrants, we're talking about legal immigrants, are so prized, legal or illegal. It matters not to Democratic elites in this country. They are focused only on votes. That's why Democrats demand sanctuary cities where illegal immigrants can hide from law enforcement. Who do you think these immigrants are going to vote for? The party that hides and protects them, even rapists and murderers among them, or the party that insists on protecting our borders and our security? That's a rhetorical question that needs no answer. People like Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and Dick Durbin, among others, desire political power, and they are perfectly willing to turn their eyes away from the dishonest ways they plot to get that power. Pelosi, Schumer, and Durbin have all become millionaires or added greatly to their wealth while making less than $200,000 a year in Congress. Politicians rarely take the job in Congress for the good of the country. If the country prospers, they don't mind, but it's their greed that is most important to them. The new tax cut that President Trump got through Congress has already seen companies sharing the newfound wealth with $1,000 employee bonuses, raises in pay, raises in the minimum wage they pay. Democrat Nancy Pelosi said that was just crumbs. To her and the wealthy Democratic Party elite, it does maybe seem like crumbs. For the rest of us, it can be the difference in shoes for our children or rent from the cold. I was struck by the views of Andrew Clavin of the City Journal that I encountered in my research. Nothing scandalizes a leftist like the truth. Point out that men and women are different, that black Americans commit a disproportionate amount of violent crime, that most terrorist acts are created by Muslims, and the left leaps to its collective feet in hypocritical, open-mouthed shock. That, my friends, is true racism. No one actually is shocked, of course. It's simply a form of bullying. The left has co-opted our good manners and goodwill in order to silence our opposition to their bad policies. Their idea is to make it seem impolite and immoral to even mention the obvious. This bullying is highly effective and very dangerous. In England, in the city of Rotherham, at least 1,400 Muslim girls, some as young as 11, were brutally raped by Muslim immigrants over a period of years in the 2000s, and it wasn't just Muslim girls. Police and other officials worked to keep the facts hidden because they did not want to be seen as racists. So they stood silent and let the city's children be raped. The same thing is going on in England and throughout Europe. And in fact, some who have spoken out have had their careers curtailed by this manufactured scandal. The politically correct message today is clear. It's just not nice to tell the truth. It's just not done. Here in the States, the First Amendment has so far allowed old-fashioned American loudmouths to fight the system whenever they can find ways around our monolithic fake news media. But the empire of lies is quick to strike back. Google and YouTube now stand charged by multiple accusers of singling out conservative voices for censorship and demonization. Hidden camera videos released by Project Veritas have shown Twitter employees conspiring to shadow ban conservatives in the Twitter system. On American campuses, intelligent conservative speakers of goodwill, like Ben Shapiro, Charles Murray, and Christina Hoff Sommers, have faced violent protests meant to simply shut them up. No person of importance on the right seeks to silence any speaker on the left. The left, on the other hand, is broadly committed to ostracizing, blacklisting, and even criminalizing conservative speakers. Enter President Donald Trump. He can be rude, sometimes crude, in his quest to make America great again. He sometimes speaks like a Queens real estate guy on a construction site. And because he does not speak in politically correct terms, he breaks their rules with which the left has sought to muzzle those who disagree with their hard-line leftist views. If Donald Trump's brash style crashes like a bull through the crystal madhouse of their leftism, good. It's about time. Democrats seem to forget the frank language of one of their own, President Harry S. Truman. Truman also disliked the fake news media, although it was not as biased then as it is now. It was still biased. Truman threatened to punch a critic in the nose for his ill-tempered review of Truman's daughter's piano playing. Imagine how Republicans could have seized on that moment of Truman's honesty to portray him as a nasty man and an assaulter. Assaulter. Sorry for the stumble. I was just a young boy at the time, but I remember thinking that Truman's defense of his daughter was normal behavior for a father who saw the critic for what he was, a far-left liberal with more printer's ink than manners. Now, I don't know exactly what Trump said in that closed-door meeting with a dozen senators at the White House. Illinois Democratic Senator Dick Durbin said that Trump referred to some African countries and Haiti with a crude word. The definition of that word, according to the Oxford Dictionary, is an extremely dirty, shabby, or otherwise unpleasant place. Maybe so. It sounds like the frank language that our president uses sometimes. In any case, this was a closed-door, private meeting where the participants were to feel free to express themselves without public scrutiny, and most of them did. The meeting got tense, and crude language was expressed by almost everybody in the room. The fact that Dick Durbin would betray the trust of the others in that private meeting says more about the dishonest nature of Durbin than it does about Trump. But the equally dishonest fake news media reacted as if this was some sort of huge scandal and blew up the message. In any case, when it comes to change, to attack Trump, so-called journalists don't waste time in fact-gathering. Various media talking heads and dishonest Democrats reacted to the alleged comment by calling Trump a racist, a Nazi, evil, and even a terrorist sympathizer. My first thought on hearing of the Trump remark in a private meeting was, what squirrely little tattletale of a weasel went running to the press to betray the trust of the people in that private meeting? Democrat Dick Durbin was that squirrely weasel. Let's state the obvious. Some of the world's countries are extremely dirty, shabby, or otherwise unpleasant places. That's not racist. It's truth. These countries are not dark, dirty holes because of the color of the populace, but because of the bad ideas, corrupt government, false religion, and broken culture. Most of the problems in these dark hole countries are generated at the top. Plenty of rank and file immigrants from such ruined venues ultimately make good Americans. Witness those who came from the 1840s potato famine Ireland. That was a dark hole at the time, if there ever was one, and mostly populated by white Irish Catholics. For that very reason, absurd immigration procedures like chain migration, lotteries, and unvetted entries are deeply destructive. They can, and they do, lead to the sort of bad choices that create a Rotherham, England. Trump's suggestions to vet immigrants for pro-American ideas and skills that will help our country are smart and reasonable and would clearly make the immigration system better if implemented. The Democratic Party does not want immigrants who are educated and can think for themselves. They prefer immigrants who are dependent upon their handouts. So when it comes to the great dark hole controversy of 2018, my feeling is, I do not care, even a little bit. I'm sorry if it takes someone like Donald Trump to break the spell of silence the left is forever weaving around us. I wish that a man like Ronald Reagan would come along and accomplish the same results as Trump with more wit and maybe a softer tone. But that was a different time and another culture. History deals us the cards it deals. We can only play them. And Trump has so far proven to be the best dealer we have. For all of the bad language and the crude, loose talk, I would rather hear a man speak as a man without fear of the press than have him neutered and gagged by a system of good manners that has been misused as a form of oppression. Better impoliteness than silence. Better crudeness than lies. Better a man who speaks frankly and is transparent than a man who came from those dark holes and vowed to bring America down. The fact is that some of the world's countries are dark holes. I don't want to see us become one. Democrats are so cowed by Nancy Pelosi in the House and Chuck Schumer in the Senate that they walk lockstep with them. 48 Democrats in the Senate, and not a single one has a mind of their own. Does that make sense to you? Democrats call for Trump to reach across the aisle, but when he did recently on the budget, Pelosi and Schumer ran their smirkiest grins before the cameras to proclaim victory over the president. Meanwhile, the president has a divided Republican Party that can't agree on when to go to lunch. If they persist, the president has no choice but to try and cobble together a coalition that includes Democrats and their far-left demands. The weird Hollywood crowd of leftists continue to attack Trump. Jennifer Lawrence recently attacked him and then said that she hoped that Trump supporters would not go to her new film. This woman never even went to high school, and she wants to pontificate to us? I plan to honor her wishes, and every patriotic American should write down the name Jennifer Lawrence and avoid her movies like we do a rabid skunk. I don't watch the pathetic people on The View for the same reason that I don't eat contaminated food. It makes you sick. Joy Behar is a comedian who has never been successful in her own right, but who has a seat at the table of The View, alongside Whoopi Goldberg and the cast of left-wing crazies. Behar makes the most outrageous statements, but the fake news media never calls her on them. Recently, Behar said that Donald Trump lies 95% of the time. Nobody lies 95% of the time, not even Hillary Clinton or Joy Behar, although that last one is a closer call. It's also been reported that the fake news media's coverage of Donald Trump has been negative 92% of the time. 92% negative. No one with a conscience, even career Democrats, can justify such misleading of the country. The left and fake news media even went after Donald Trump's wife, Melania, and their young son. It began viciously, but when the American people rejected those attacks, Trump's critics had to go underground with their hate for Trump's family. Reports aired on national networks and cable news networks about the shoes that Melania wore to Texas to give comfort to beleaguered victims of Hurricane Harvey. Somehow, her shoes were the media's business. When somebody is trying to help you, when you've lost everything you own, what their shoes are on their feet is not very important, except to the fake news media and the foaming at the mouth career Democrats. The truth is that common sense has fallen hard times in America. From common sense, it has become so uncommon to whatever happened to common sense anyway. The responses agree that American life has been trending away from common sense, and it's obvious to anybody that common sense is not just fading away for reasons unknown. Common sense has been receiving an all-out frontal assault. We need only to consider the political correctness movement. Political correctness is the rejection of common sense in our political discourse. The proponents of political correctness demand that schools let boys into girls' bathrooms, locker rooms, and showers, that universities protect college students from words and ideas that might upset them. The PC overlords simultaneously demand that America bring large numbers of unvetted Muslims from the jihadi-infested Middle East, and that American citizens be deprived of the means to defend themselves and their families from those jihadists. But the war on common sense goes far beyond the political assault on the First and Second Amendments. Since academia is groupthink for political correctness in the progressive left, there is also an assault on rational standards in higher education. Three women videotaped themselves in the 17th season of ABC's The Bachelor. They talked about it on camera afterward and turned it into a Ph.D. Even worse, the Ph.D. was awarded by the University of Utah, Mormon country. The rot of academia has spread from elite private universities in progressive regions of the country all the way to public universities in private and conservative states. It was not always so. When America knew itself, common sense was the coin of the realm in American thinking, both in academia and in ordinary life. To be clear, common sense realism exists in two varieties. There's the garden variety, which most of us rely on in our daily lives and which we usually just call common sense. If you believe that a boy in a tutu and a tiara who claims to identify a girl is still a boy, then you are a common sense realist. Lincoln spoke for all of us garden variety common sense realists when he famously asked and answered the question, "If you call a tail a leg, how many legs would a dog have?" The answer, he said, is four. Because even if you call it a leg, it's still a tail. Common sense has fallen victim to the progressive left's rejection of the Founding Fathers' visionary course for us. The progressives reject the Constitution, the Electoral College, and all of the creations of the founders. But that is not sufficient for their purpose. They must also go on to reject the common sense realism of the founders. Since that philosophy is rooted in ordinary common sense has to go. Donald Trump calls himself a common sense conservative. Did his election signal America's return to common sense? It's too soon to tell. We can only pray. Certainly, the enemies of common sense on the left will fight, and they occupy fortified positions. Tenured professors in colleges and universities, and government employees at every level, cannot be fired, and they are more dedicated to fundamentally transforming America according to the progressive vision than they are to teaching or serving taxpayers who pay their salaries. Where have our morals gone? Why is doing the right thing so difficult today for so many? When will we as a society learn that the most valuable asset we have to offer this world and those around us is the ability of the human brain to use common sense? The list of things we teach our children to do and the value in life is virtually endless. And the most important parental lesson is to institute common sense into these children. Because apparently, from the headlines of late and the general actions of society as a whole, by the time people reach adulthood, they have literally no common sense left. Suddenly, life is about living in the moment and not thinking about consequences or personal responsibility that we may have to others and ourselves. Life is lived precariously from one moment to the next. Should Starbucks and McDonald's really be forced to label hot chocolate and coffee with a warning that says the contents are hot? Isn't that common sense that tells us those things? The list of endless nonsense that only signifies society has lost its ability to use common sense is indeed endless. There was an article in the New York Times about a group of people who got together to sue fast food establishments for making them fat. Whatever happened to personal choice and personal accountability? Did somebody force feed these people Big Macs and apple pies? How about warnings on toothpaste containers that tell people not to eat toothpaste? Is that really necessary? Because in a normal society where people use common sense, they would know that eating toothpaste is not in their best interest. For many years in the United States, lawyers were not allowed to advertise on radio and television. There was a legitimate reason for it. When that restriction ended, we were inundated with lawyers begging us to sue somebody. A couple of local lawyers here in Raleigh urged people to take bankruptcy like another snow cone. These people were extended credit. To act irresponsibly and take that debt to an extreme has to be condemned. So now there's a pack of lawyers trying to punish the creditors for their courtesy. Others specialize in getting the IRS to accept pennies on the dollar for large debts owed by people who expect the rest of us to pick up the tax loss revenue through our own taxes. The list of common sense boils down to two things, selfishness and ego. People today place so much stock in being right all the time, in winning, even when there is nothing to win or lose, that they have lost touch with the most basic human function, common sense. Maybe instead of college exit exams and papers, in lieu of graduation exams and standardized testing, success should be measured in one's ability to function sufficiently in a world that is much simpler than we could ever believe. Each of us would be ever curious about those who could pass the common sense test of life and those who could not.